All right, well, this morning's sermon text is Philippians chapter 2, verse 21. And it reads, "For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." We will now read starting from verse 19 in the same chapter to comprehend the meaning of the text as a whole. "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel." Paul, in his letter to the church at Philippi, says that he is trusting the Lord to send Timothy. This is simply so that his most trusted Timothy might bring him a personal account of the church. But Paul mentions here that there's no one like-minded to care for their state, which is quite sad considering that a large part of Paul's mission, if not the entire mission, was to establish and maintain these churches throughout the land. Then in verse 21, Paul writes a verse that perfectly describes the choices of mankind. He starts it with, "For all seek their own." In this morning's sermon, we will discuss the following three aspects of this phrase. Point number one, the history of man's choices in Scripture. Point number two, the selfishness of man in today's society. And number three, linking our choices with God. Point number one, the history of man's choices in Scripture can be found back in the Old Testament book of Genesis, where the fall of man began. Genesis 3, verse 6 says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." After the apple had been eaten and gone against God's direct order, blood was soon to be spilled. "Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him." Genesis 4, verse 8. Now later in the Old Testament, we find the well-known King David making his choice to pursue Bathsheba. "Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, 'Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her." 2 Samuel 11, verses 2 through 4. Now what each of these passages have in common is that none of the individuals involved were following the counsel of the Lord. When man makes his own choices, it is not for spiritual gain, but for personal. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The flesh has only gotten stronger throughout history, and man has continued to rely on his own intelligence now more than ever, bringing up false gods for himself, just as the ancient Israelites did. As seen in Exodus, it says, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.' And Aaron said to them, 'Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me.' So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" After being delivered out of Egypt by God, the Israelites formed an image for themselves, one that they believed would now serve as their new God. They did so after being rescued and protected all because Moses delayed. Well, friends, these examples, all from the Old Testament, they show that there is one choice that a particular man made in the New Testament that affected the history of mankind as we know it. It's spoken of in Mark 14. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him to them. Mark 14, verses 10 and 11. Judas chose to betray Jesus for personal gain. Was it convenient? Did he think it would make him rich? Did he gain anything? Well, brothers and sisters, I have a question for you this morning. These examples given to us in Scripture, they all follow those who, like I said, are not following the counsel of the Lord. And they result in those same individuals going down a path that they are sure to regret. So my question is, when you have made a decision based apart from God's Word, where has that choice brought you? Moving on to our second point, the selfishness of man in today's society. In our many years of existence, our sinful nature has gone unchanged. Man is jealous, he's self-absorbed, and as selfish as ever. And because of this, disorder and evil, they run free. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. James 3:16. Too many people are so caught up in their sinful nature that it blinds them from the forgiveness of Christ Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, Paul states, "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." If you turn there in your Bible, this verse so clearly states, "The God of this age has blinded." But that God is written with a lowercase g. Thus, that God is Satan. Satan has become the backbone to our sin-filled society, and because of his blinding tactics, many remain without the faith of our Lord and Jesus Christ. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. 1 John 5:19. Friends, modern society is under the sway of Satan. Spinning his webs of evil and deceit, the evil one influences choices made by our politicians, members of the media, and just about every person around you in their everyday life. But what we often lose sight of is that those choices that we make are not of God, and they benefit no one but Satan himself. So then, I ask you, who are we serving? For no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 6:24. I was a little skeptical as to what mammon meant, so I looked it up, and Webster's Dictionary defines it. It is found in the New Testament of the Bible and is commonly thought to mean money, material wealth, or any entity that promises wealth and is associated with the greedy pursuit of gain. So this pursuit of gain or mammon that Jesus was talking about back in Matthew 6 is all decided by the world's standard. But 1 John says this, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." I'd like to point something out. By saying that the things we choose before God are of the world is likewise saying that they are of Satan, simply because the world, as we know it, is under his sway. No matter how we justify our decisions with our situations or our experiences, there are simply two things that affect our choices. There's the influence of darkness, and there's the influence of the cross. Upon going over some of the history of man's choices, again I ask you, where did it lead him? Where did it lead us? Well, friends, I pray, as we all know, that the counsel of Christ leads to much more than the counsel of the world. For the counsel found in the Word of God leads to spiritual growth and heavenly riches. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6:19-21. What a beautiful verse. Point 3, linking our choices with God. As we've spoken about this morning, Paul, when he wrote our text, definitely had an understanding of what man seeks. But in order for him to come to this conclusion, he studied daily and he devoted his life to Christ. This allowed Paul to develop spiritual discernment and wisdom rooted in the scriptures and precepts that he had access to. What we can learn from this is that the only way to link our everyday decisions with God is to likewise be in His Word. The very first step, however, is to link our lives with Christ Jesus. With the prevalence of evil stemming from man's choices, it is time to make your decisions based off of the Lord's counsel. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. 1 John 3:8 talks of how sin is the devil's. But what it also says is that to save us from our sin-filled flesh, which links us directly to Satan, the Son of God might destroy the works of the devil. In this we can rejoice, for Christ paid the cost, and now it is our choice to follow him. So to link our choices with God's, we must become one with Scripture. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Psalms 18:30. So in closing this morning's sermon, I invite any of you who received this sermon, either here this morning or online, to receive also the Lord Jesus Christ into your hearts, if you've not done so already. Link your choices with God's word and become a person rooted in his truth rather than Satan's lies. Job 34:4 says, "Let us choose justice for ourselves. Let us know among ourselves what is good." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the history provided to us in the Scriptures, a history showing us the fault and the error in man's ways, and God, the comfort and the wisdom that you can provide us with. Heavenly Father, I pray that going forward throughout this new year, that we realize our choices, they won't benefit us. But Lord, that with your help, the divine choice to accept you into our lives and to live a life rooted in your truth, that is the answer. You are the answer, Lord God. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for your word, and I ask that you be with us every step of the way, and I know you will, Lord. And I pray for everyone here that going forward they can always lean on your counsel and not the world's. I pray all this through Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.